Oh, you must be the tourist group who's come to inquire about the residency permit of the Bridgetown. Well, let me take you upstairs. Please come. Let me check if sir is in. Sir will be back shortly. In the meantime, you can have a seat.
Welcome to FRI Matura, our residential application department. We're happy to see you all here this morning. Usually our habit is to hand out forms. This is Indian government procedure. But the head office has given a directive that we should actually give you an orientation session as well. The head director is very fond of Miss Damodar Priya. She's made a very good impression on him. And he very much wants to help you all really understand what is involved in taking a residential permit for Bridgetown. Now, I can see that a few of you are a little concerted to see that there's so much dust on the table of a government office in India. So I thought to share a little secret about Braj culture with you before we start. It may be a little concerning when you first come to the Dham to see that there's not so much care about dust here and dust there. There's a very good reason for that, and I'll share it with you as an opening gift. In Braj, the sadhus, perhaps the greatest Braj saint of recent time, is Prabodhananda Saraswati, very dearly loved by all the Brajvasis. He's the one who can actually instill Braj Nishtha in our hearts. And he tells us that each speck of the dust of Braj has imprinted on it the names of Radha Shyam. So for this reason, the Brajvasis are very fond of Brajvas. It's not something we dust out of the house. It's something we embrace. Just a little starter. So the head office has actually sent us a directive of how we should go about this little orientation workshop. And I'll just follow that through with you. Now, the first thing that we need to be aware of is that you'll have to take vaccinations. It's a very strong commitment that we have as a government to protect those already in the country. We've had a number of academics in Braj area. And so it's for your safety also. It's quite an extensive list. In fact, 18 vaccinations. We could have included a couple more, but they're minor. And we haven't had any trouble with them recently, so we're trying to do you a little help by minimizing as much as possible the requirements that are there. So the head department has sent us a notification We're happy to give you a copy of this at the end of our session together. It's basically a vaccination requirement notification. So what I'll do is I'll read through it just to give you an understanding of what we're dealing with. The following vaccinations are required to obtain your Vrindavan resident permit. They must be taken regularly until you obtain permanent residency here. Our vaccination clinic is open from 4:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. and from 4:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Please avail of this free government facility, for it will help protect you from the deadly diseases that obstruct the attainment of Braj Bhakti, which is a prerequisite for living permanently in Braj. So none of these injections are painful because none of these vaccinations are painful because it's not by injection. It's not even a bad taste, you don't have to swallow it. These vaccinations are quite unusual in the sense that they're oral, they're taken through the ear. So let's have a listen to a few of them. We won't read all, we'll give you a sheet later and you'll be obliged to follow it at your convenience. Putana Gatana. This vaccine will protect you from bogus gurus and from the materialistic mind. Sakata Banjana will protect you from load-carrying mentality born of bad habits, lethargy, dullness, and false pride. Vatsasurahana will protect you from a childish and mischievous mentality that is easily influenced by bad association and greed for mundane sense gratification. Bakasuramadan will protect you from a very nasty disease, cheating religion, especially Nam Aparant, and from cunning, duplicity, deceptive behavior, and hypocrisy. Agnim Pitva will protect you from sectarianism, hatred, and arguments between Vaishnavas or different religions. So Braj is a land of harmony. Even the animals live in harmony here. So this vaccination is very, very important. We have to give up this idea of foreign, things being foreign, and see the unity in the diversity around us. Pralamba Suragatana, protection from lust, desire for profit, adoration, distinction, and impersonalism. Sankachudahana, protection from bhakti motivated by desire for fame and sense gratification. Keshimadana, protection from the vanity of thinking, I am a great devotee, I am a guru, and also from the false ego arising from attachment to wealth and material accomplishments. So as I mentioned earlier, unlike other vaccinations, these must be taken through the ear, and you can contact our vaccination center for further details. You can ring them on Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Please note the detail. Okay, so you may be a little disturbed to find that there's so many vaccinations required to enter Braj Dham with a residential permit. But there is some good news. There's an excellent self-help menu that's available in all the leading stores. This particular book is a very excellent menu. And just 10 to 15 minutes a day will surely keep all the dreaded diseases away. So note that also. Okay, so the next thing that we need to have a look at, let me just check what the directives have been sent here. Okay, yes, so with this vaccination, please do take care of this in your own time, but within the next 2 weeks, if you are desirous of getting a residential permit. We will be checking this, your records of this, before we give out even the application form. So now let's have a look at the application form. Again, I'll have a read of this. Let's see. The first question, please listen very carefully. Are you firmly convinced that it is by the mercy of Gurudev and Srila Prabhupada that you will attain the shelter of Sri Sri Radha in Braj? 2. Are you confident that you've received the mercy of Sri Sri Gonitai? 3. Do you consider yourself reasonably well conversant with the writings of the Goswamis? For example, Srila Prabhupada's Nectar of Devotion. 4. Are you honestly able to accept the ugliness and dirtiness of today's Vrindavan as Yogamaya's covering and not be influenced in your vision by it? 5. Do you have an attraction for wandering in the 12 forests of Braj? 6. Are you enthusiastic to bathe in the Jamuna when you visit Vrindavan? Are you thinking to take it easy in Vrindavan or to earn your livelihood here? Do you have faith by the potency of the holy name you can and will attain Shri Braj Dhan? Do you have an attraction for hearing and chanting about Krishna? Is it more your mood to try and love Krishna rather than to know and understand him? Are you strict in the habit of honoring only Krishna Prasad? Are you apprehensive about the mosquitoes, the monkeys, or the beggars in Braj? Or are you concerned about disease? Are any of these things worrying you when you're thinking to apply for this permit? Are you trying to become free from the tendency to envy, fault find, and criticize? Is it your nature to greet other people with tolerance, mercy, friendship, and equality? Are you able to at least theoretically accept that all living entities in Vrindavan are eternal and full of knowledge and bliss, even the pigs? Do you consider your attachment to be Krishna one of your strongest attachments? Are you happy with the sincerity and the purity of your chanting of Gayatri mantras? Do you have a firm, heartfelt desire to assist in some way Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's all-merciful Sankirtan mission? Do you think of yourself as a person who is peaceful, equipoised, knows the art of pleasing others, and most likes to keep friendship with devotees? Are you confident that you'll be content to live in Vrindavan? This is a big one. It's one thing to get the permit to enter the sacred land, but are you confident that you're going to be content to live here? Very important question. Okay, so we will, if you are keen to pursue this getting of your visa, your permit, then kindly take this from us, this form from us at the end of this session as well. Now, you may be feeling that some of these questions make absolutely no sense. Why on earth should I answer these questions? All I want is a residential permit. So the head office has kindly sent a rationale sheet which will help you understand why these questions have been asked. And please read through it very carefully. We'll read a little bit of it now to give you some idea. But at your leisure, read through it very, very carefully before answering your application questionnaire, and it'll have some bearing. So for now, we'll just read a little bit of this rationale sheet, just a few questions and answers. First question on our application form was, are you firmly convinced that it is by the mercy of Sri Gurudev and Srila Prabhupada that you will attain the shelter of Shri Radha Krishna in Vrindavan? Let's have a listen to, a very careful listen to the rationale. The holy lotus feet of Sri Guru tell of the holy name, tell of the divine form as worldly desire begins to subside, of the quality of the divinity on further diminution of such appetite, and draws us fully to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna by telling us of his activities, his lila, and the distinctive nature of our own individual service when the aptitude for worldliness is still further attenuated or removed. Then we shall serve the son of Nanda, the highest personality of divine activities, by entering into his pastimes. It is from the lotus feet of Sri Guru alone that this function may be gained. So right from the very seed of Naam through to being in our original form, original service in Braj, this is all coming by the mercy of Guru. This is a statement by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Are you confident that you have received the mercy of Sri Sri Gaur Nithai We're in Brajdhan. We're wanting to access Brajdhan. What is the importance of Gaunika? I'm not trying to enter Mayapur. I'm trying to enter Brajdhan. Let's see what Prabhupada has to say. Unless one is favored by Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, there is no need to go to Vrindavan. For unless one's mind is purified, he cannot see Vrindavan even if he goes there. Interesting point. If one does not have the shelter of Nittai, it will not be possible to attain the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. Actually, in an article by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he explains a very intimate relationship between Nityananda and Srimati Radhika. He says, without the direct intervention and recommendation of Nityananda, Srimati Radharani won't accept you into her service. So it's a very important point. Check your heart on that one. Another question, are you honestly able to accept the ugliness and dirtiness of today's Vrindavan as Yoga Maya's covering and not be influenced in your vision by it? Srila Prabhupada, how can we understand that Vrindavan is Krishna's abode? There seems to be so much contamination in Vrindavan. Prabhupada, this is because your senses are impure. But when your eyes are smeared with the salve of love, then you will see Vrindavan. Don't judge Vrindavan by external manifestation. Srila Prabhupada, why does Vrindavan now appear to be so dirty and unkempt? The ugliness here is Yoga Maya. It's Krishna's covering. Vrindavan appears this way to drive away the atheists and the impersonalists. For a devotee, this Vrindavan is good as Krishna's abode in the spiritual sky, Golok Vrindavan. Vrindavan hides herself from the materialists. This earthly Vrindavan is a replica of Golok Vrindavan. And therefore, it is non-different because it is a manifestation, but because it is a manifestation of the material universe, the laws of material nature are working here. Are you thinking to take it easy in Vrindavan or to earn your livelihood here? Very touchy subject. If one goes to Vrindavan for sense gratification or to make a livelihood, he commits an offense and is condemned. Whoever does so must be penalized in the next life by becoming a dog or a monkey in Vrindavan Dham. After taking on such a body, the offender is liberated in the next life. Penance in devotional service of the Lord, either by voluntary submission or by being forced by the Lord, is necessary for attaining perfection. And thus such penance is the internal potency of the Lord. Only love and penance combined can please the Lord, and thus one is able to attain His complete mercy. An easy-going life and attainment of perfection and transcendental realization cannot go together. Listen carefully to the next one. Do you have faith that by the potency of the holy name you can and will actually attain Brajdham? What we're going to hear is from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The mind and body are upadis, or external casings. The soul is actually free from all this. Our soul has to be set free from external contamination. All perishable values require to be eliminated. Then we shall see that we have devotion. We are devotees. Transcendental sound will be the agency. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has told us to place our reliance solely on the name of Hari. This transcendental sound has the potency to regulate all our other senses. It is this absolute sound which will carry us to the region of the absolute. Is it more your mood to try and love Krishna rather than to try and know or understand Him? Prabhupada says some very sweet things about this. My devotees may or may not know exactly what I am, who I am, and how I exist. But if they worship me with unalloyed love, then I consider them to be the best of my devotees. The mentality of Vrindavan is the perfect status of mind for the devotee. The inhabitants of Vrindavan have no concern with understanding Krishna. Rather, they want to love Krishna unconditionally. So our concern should be simply to love Krishna. The more we love Krishna, the more we shall be perfect. One cannot attain Krishna and Goloka Vrindavan simply by serving the Lord according to regular principles. One can attain such perfection only by spontaneous love of God. So we'll give you a copy of this rationale sheet at the end of the session if you're interested in applying for your residential permit. It's quite an extensive document. The head department has gone to quite some effort to compile it for you. So do consider it quite seriously before you fill out your application. Okay, so there's a few other things that we needed to talk about. The director that I've received in particular wanted us to look at, to make sure you got some kind of an understanding of the mood and the social norms in Brajdham. After all, we want you to come in and be a harmonious element in our community. We don't want to cause you any unnecessary disturbance. So the more you're aware of our norms and our culture, the easier it will be for you to enter Brajdham. So this may come as a little shock to you. It's very foreign to your culture, and perhaps we could highlight this. But what we are really concerned about as a primary mood and social norm is the culture of surrender. You want to hone in on that? So I'll read through this because this is a very, very different mood than you will find anywhere else in the material realm. What I'm going to do, just to make it very, very clear to you, I'm going to give you the norm that is prevalent in the rest of the world and the norm that dominates here. So please listen very carefully. There are basically six indicators of this. We are in the mood of thinking, I am the Lord and Master of all I survey. This is a very common attitude outside of Braj. But the mood in Braj is one of humility. A second point, I am independent. I will attain everything I want through my own efforts and abilities. This is so much the culture outside of Braj. But in Braj, the mood is one of surrendering to Krishna. Who am I? I'm not the controller. I'm not the enjoyer. I'm the servant. What does my master want? This is the mood. A third indicator that we see outside of Braj, I am the creator of my own destiny, my own power and resources, and by them, my power and my resources, I will maintain myself. I have a very healthy bank balance. So often we think that our money is our protection, but not in Braj. In Braj, the mood is that we accept Krishna as our maintainer. A very common saying amongst the Brijbasis, if you speak with them, is Krishna gave only one wealth to Brijbasis. He didn't give us money. He didn't even give us health. He gave us only Braj Bhakti. This is the wealth of a Brijbasi. Fourth indicator, I can protect myself and all who take shelter of me. This is not the mood of Braj. We have firm faith that Krishna will protect. Krishna will protect. Fifth indicator, I have no real interest or belief in God. I live by my own rules and I'm very happy, thank you. I'm very happy, thank you. Not the mood of Braj. I reject all activities that are unfavorable to devotional service. Anything that is not pleasing to Krishna, I have no interest in. It is the mood of Braj. And final indicator, I will do whatever favorably supports my interests, my personal interests, my position, my wealth, my property, and my prosperity. Mood of the Brijbasis is again the other extreme of the tandem. Accept activities that are favorable to serving Krishna. What does Krishna want? If he wants me in poverty, let me be in poverty. If he wants me to have wealth, let me have wealth. Krishna's pleasure is my pleasure, even if it seems like unhappiness. So this is very, very much the mood of Braj, and this is quite a challenge. If you don't have a clear understanding, and this is why the directive has come from the head office, particularly in relation to this, because if we enter Braj Dham without this mood, we will find it quite a challenge to assimilate ourselves into the culture that's prevalent here. So this idea of living here under the shelter of Radha Shyam, not having independent existence from them, very, very important. Okay. So this indicates that there is a very strong culture and mood which prevails in this land. Very important that you're aware of this. And what we want to do is give you a little sense of the culture, the underlying principle of the culture. We have to remember that philosophy lived is called culture. So we're looking at the underlying principle of the culture. And it's very interesting. All the groups of Vaishnavas who live in Vrindavan are absorbed in chanting the all-auspicious name of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are their life and soul. They do not know anything but devotional service to Sri Sri Radha Krishna. So here we're talking about those who are living in Braj Dham as sadhikas, and they're taking their mood from the eternal residence of Braj Dham. So this absorption in Krishna is very, very important. Our tendency is to be absorbed in everything but Krishna. If we were to experience Puttana Leela, if we were to experience that, most surely, once Puttana had been killed, we'd run up to Puttana. How many teeth does she have? How long is her body? When we have difficulties in this world, we preoccupy ourselves with the difficulty. We don't preoccupy ourselves with Krishna. But the Brijbasis' mood is just the opposite. They preoccupy themselves with Krishna. They only deal with the externals to the extent that it has to be done. Okay, one demon has to be killed. Krishna will do that. Give him time and space to do that. The bottom line is we love him. That's all we really want to know about. So this is a very important part of the culture. The mood in Braj Dham is very special, as are the residents. As are the residents. Never cheat the residents here, whether it be in the form of a rat or in the form of a Brahmin. Never treat any residents of Braj Dham cheaply. They are very rare and very special souls. So, mood and the residents. We'd like first to share with you a sample of the mood, the kind of thing that you're likely to hear from the mouths of the sadhus here. In Braj, we don't see with the eyes. We see with the ears. And we see with the heart. So kind of hear what I'm about to say. If you have circumambulated the land of Vrindavan, then what is the need for visiting millions of holy places? If the chirping of Vrindavan's birds has entered your ears, then what is the use of studying all the Vedas? If you have uttered the names of the trees of Vrindavan, then there is no need to recite any prayers or mantras. If your vision has fallen on any part of Vrindavan, what is the use of millions of meditations? Oh, it is indeed wonderful that the beasts, birds, men, women, trees, and creepers of Vrindavan all possess bodies made of spiritual bliss. They are always jubilant on account of their own glories and influence. Yet unfortunate people who are controlled by the illusory energy, see this land of Vrindavan as mundane. Oh my Lord Hari, when will my body become spiritualized simply by residing in Vrindavan? May my head eternally bow down to Sri Vrindavan. May my tongue become overwhelmed by singing the transcendental glories of Vrindavan. May my hands engage in sweeping the forest groves of Vrindavan. May my legs circumambulate the land of Vrindavan. May my ears engage in hearing the glories of Vrindavan. My eyes in seeing the beauty of Vrindavan. And my mind in meditating on Vrindavan. O most dear Vrindavan, O supremely blissful Vrindavan, if I could see the beauty of your animate and inanimate inhabitants with millions of divine eyes, if I could smell your fragrance with millions of noses, if I could hear about your transcendental qualities with millions of ears, if I could wander about your land with millions of legs, and if I could offer you obeisances with millions of heads, still I would not be satisfied. Let my eyes become overwhelmed by watching the beautiful nectarian forest of Vrindavan. Let my intelligence become merged in the transcendental ocean, the glories of Vrindavan. And let my body roll on the grand ground of Vrindavan, overwhelmed by currents of spiritual bliss. Oh, may I always offer obeisances at the feet of all living entities who reside in Braj. Oh, when will that auspicious day arrive when the actual glories of Vrindavan will be revealed to me? The scriptures are unable to touch even 1/1,000,000th of its glories. Even great personalities like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lakshmi, Sukadev, Arjuna and Uddhava are unable to take darshan of its confidential form. And what to speak of others, even the ordinary Brajvasis cannot see it. Sri Vrindavan exhibits her real form only to those rare and fortunate devotees who have taken full shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Radhikarani. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. This is a mudra brush. So we also want to give you some indicator of how we would like you to live your life here. I'm thinking of a particular citizen of Braj Dham who is not only loved very dearly by the Brajvasis, but he's very exemplary. We have a couple of records on him in our files, so I'd like to share them with you. He's very fondly known amongst the Brajvasis as Prabhupada. Let us just read a couple of files. We have quite a thick file on him, but we'll just read a couple of excerpts from that. Having been invited by Gaurachandra Goswami, Srila Prabhupada moved to Radha Damodar Temple in July 1962. His preparatory years at Radha Damodar were intense and deeply internal. Memories of a number of the residents there bear witness to this fact. Many remember him sitting and chanting for hours at a time at the feet of Srila Rupa Goswami in his samadhi. Sripad Hridayananda Babaji Maharaj, a very wonderful Nam Bhakta, recalls something very wonderful about Prabhupada that we'd like to share with you. Hridayananda Das Babaji is an exceptional soul. He is a Nam Siddha. He chants 24 hours a day. Very exceptional, very humble, and very potent personality. So let's see what he has to say about the citizen of Braj called Prabhupada. Prabhupada spread this Krishna consciousness movement by the mercy of Rupa Goswami. Prabhupada used to pray to Rupa Goswami, "You please give me your mercy." And he got that mercy. I know this because I saw some of the things he did while at Radha Damodar Temple. My room is still located in the same place that it was then. Many times in the middle of the night, at midnight or 1 or 2 in the morning, I would hear a voice crying from inside the courtyard near Rupa Goswami's Samadhi Mandir. That voice was calling out and crying regularly. But I did not know what it was because I was trying to take rest. But one night, on the full moon, I heard that voice again. So I climbed up to the roof of our house and I looked down into the Radha Damodar courtyard. I saw something very amazing. Srila Prabhupada was sweeping the courtyard of Rupa Goswami's samadhi. He was bending down with a small broom, and as he swept the ground by the samadhi, he was crying out, "O Rupa, O Sanatana, O Gurudev, please give me your mercy. Without your mercy, I cannot do anything. Please give me your mercy. Give me strength so that I may fulfill your orders." Then I realized that it was he who almost every night was calling out as he was sweeping like this. Many years later, when I heard that it was actually he who had been chosen by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to spread the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra all around the world, I was not surprised. Another record that we have I would like to share with you. This is a more personal one. It's on file from some of Prabhupada's close disciples. And this is during his time staying at Radha Damodar Mandir when he returned from America in 72. Jamuna is speaking. Halada, our monkey friend, has been accustomed to taking prasadam in my room every Tuesday and Thursday. And Prabhupada is now in that room. So Halada, she came around this morning as usual and started swinging on the bars of the window and jabbering monkey talk. I was standing outside the door, just about to take Srila Prabhupada some hot milk. He couldn't see me, but I could see him sitting inside, leaning on a cushion, very relaxed, with one knee up and one knee out. "I get the picture," I say, "'tis Hayagriva speaking." "So well then, oh Hayagriva, you're going to think I'm crazy when I tell you what I saw. Come on, you can't stop now, you have to tell me." Jamuna says, "Well, this is the truth, so help me, this is the truth." Suddenly, Srila Prabhupada started talking to Halidar in pure, unadulterated monkey talk.
"No."
"Yes, it was a language. And Prabhupada spoke it in the same tone, same meter, everything." So when Halidar heard this, she grabbed both window bars, stuck her ears out, and stared at him in amazement. Then, and I swear it, Srila Prabhupada and Halidar had a discussion. A discussion? A discussion. Prabhupada was so relaxed conversing in monkey talk, and the conversation went backward and forward for some time. I just stood there afraid to move, afraid to interrupt. I thought of Lord Chaitanya talking to the animals in the forest. I knew I was witnessing something unique. I felt so privileged. Then the most amazing thing of all happened. "Oh, what was that?" After talking for some time, Halidar left. She'd never left before without taking prasadam. It was completely against her monk nature. "Srila Prabhupada," I said, "I don't believe what I just saw. What went on?" Prabhupada just replied, "I told her to go away and not bother me anymore." Jamuna laughs and shakes her head, still amazed. She takes a pot of steaming khichdi off the fire. Pishima, who speaks no English, looks at me, smiles, and continues rolling dala for chapatis. "Now don't you dare mention this to Srila Prabhupada," Jamuna says. "Don't say a word to anyone. Really, the devotees won't know what to make of this, especially the new people." "What's one to think? Obviously Prabhupada's a superb linguist. The devotee has the qualities of Krishna. He's a superb linguist. Please promise not to tell anybody. Not even a chuta? All right. Achyuta will understand." So this is just giving you some idea of an exemplary citizen of Brajdham. So please always be very, very careful. If you do, by some wonderful mercy, manage to receive a Braj residential permit, please be very, very careful. Actually, it's not the government that issues such a permit. The paperwork is done by us. But whether you actually get it or not is determined by Srimati Radharani and her dham. Okay, so I think I've followed everything that I was ordered to inform you about here. Yes, okay. So we've covered everything that needs to be covered. And we thank you very, very much for your kind attention. It's quite a lot of jargon, government jargon, but we hope it's been helpful to you. And we look forward to receiving your residential permit application. Once again, we remind you that if you have any doubts or any questions, please feel comfortable to ring us on our office number. You may not have jotted it down, so I'll repeat it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Kani Narutna, thank you very much. All the best. Hare Krishna.